May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It's one of the great readings from the Gospels that speak to us about what we should expect in terms of the present-day ministry of Christ. And I remember years and years ago when I began to embrace everything that the Scripture says that's available to believers today, and that was one of those places that you were just constantly brought back to. See, because what I was taught as a born-again Christian, and I went to a great Bible college that taught the Bible. I'm so grateful for them. But their theology is that when the last apostle died, all the ministries of signs and wonders left, and that they were no longer part of our story. It was what Jesus did those things, and he was proving himself to be the Messiah. Then there was the apostolic building of the foundation of the church, but then once they died, it's done. And really, basically, what it was that over the centuries, the enemy always attacks things, and he just simply attacked over years a segment of the church, Protestant. And it was our way of trying to make ourselves feel better about the fact that the things we see in the book of Acts, even disregarding the life of Jesus, but the book of Acts, these are just people like us that we didn't want to look at that and feel bad about it or try to press in and figure out how come that's not happening in our lives. Because you think about like Stephen was an apostle. You go back and you read in Luke chapter 10, after sending out the 12, Jesus sent out 70 others. And they went out and did signs and wonders. I mean, it's just normal Christianity, of course. And so when I first began to learn some things, that was one of the scriptures, Luke chapter 4, about Jesus quoting from Isaiah 61. Of course, this is how God works. I mean, this is true about every minute of your life in Christ. If you're even halfway being yielded, he makes it difficult to miss him. We treat it like it's so easy to miss him. It's like this terrible Easter egg hunt. God's going warmer, warmer, colder, colder. And if you get it just right, I'll bless you. And if you don't, you're going to pay a price for it. It's just not that hard. He's not that hard to get along with. He's not that religious, legalistic. And he knows we're but dust, Scripture says. So Jesus walks in the synagogue, and they happen. That was the reading they were reading that day. Man, what a stroke of luck that turned out to be. And he had just gone through his baptism and wilderness experience, and he comes out of the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. He goes in the synagogue, reads from Isaiah 61, and that was the great messianic scripture of the Old Testament. When they were all looking for that day when the Messiah would come and make things right, bring about the justice of God, vengeance against the enemy, manifest the favorable year of the Lord. The blind would see, the afflicted would no longer be afflicted, the poor would be mended. You know, all these things Jesus said, broken hearts would be mended. And Jesus stands up in front of them, reads that scripture, and he says, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. It's like going, it's now. Now, they've been looking forward to it all those centuries. And when it's finally there, it didn't look like they thought it was going to look like. It was a little weird. And because it was a little weird because they looked at Jesus and said, we know this guy. That's Joseph's son. So this can't be true. Let me just say how the enemy attacks us. There's a lot of things in that deal. It's like I've known lots of Christians over the years who cried out for revival. I've still got friends I went to Bible college with who I was buddies with. This day, they won't embrace the things of the Spirit. Because they just things about it they see that are just kind of weird. It wasn't like they thought it was going to look like. But for us personally, what the enemy will do a lot of times is that Jesus came and it's modeled in the disciples' life. He said, the things that I'll do, you do even greater things. It's what he said. You can't dummy that down to make your experience fit. The scripture is our plumb line. We don't adjust it to us. It always adjusts us, right? So we should expect that to be a normal part of our Christian lives. And we're going to often have the enemy going, what he's going to do is look at you. So they said this way, well, we know who you are. You're Joseph's son. The enemy's going to go to you like, I know who you are. I mean, those are the thoughts you're going to think. There's no way I can, oh, I like to read about Heidi Baker or hear these stories, but that can't be me. That's what the enemy always does. Well, there's something about me that somehow disqualifies. You know, I'm real familiar with me. Or you go into a place, what's interesting, I've always heard people, and this is true, it's a lot easier to minister signs and wonders to people who don't know you. And part of that is that whole aroma, the area, thing of familiarity, it breeds contempt. And the truth is that all those people that Jesus chose, and he says, the Father sent me, so send I you. that you're going to do greater works. All those ones he chose at the cross, when we know John eventually came back, they all abandoned Christ. One of them publicly denied him, but they all abandoned the cross. And yet these are the pillars and the foundation of the church, the apostles. That's the ones that Jesus chose. They ran, they cut ears off, they cursed in denial of him. I mean, the top guy, because he was scared. They couldn't believe most of the time or half the time. They see Jesus feeding 5,000, feeding 4,000, and they can't believe God because they've got one loaf of bread among 13 of them in a boat going across one lake. And yet, look what God did to them. It's just you and me. Jesus is still doing the same stuff. If Christ is in you, it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible, it's a dumbed-down version of Christ. It's a safer version of Jesus. It's just Jesus. And Jesus is telling a story. And I would hate to think, like the teaching about Acts, it's like foundational. Once the foundation's built, then the signs and wonders stop. I'd hate to buy a house and build the foundation. And then when I looked at the foundation, I'm going to go, that's the best it's ever going to get with this house. The rest of the time, my house is never going to be that good. No, everything's built on that. But it all comes from that. The enemy's such a liar. Why? Because he does not want the authenticity of Christ to be manifested on the earth. Because the authentic version is very irresistible. And the enemy would like to tell you, just like they thought about Jesus, well, you know, that can't be you, though. There's no way you could do stuff like this. I mean, you know. You know who you are. It's just not who you are. It's just not your thing. No, my thing's talking about this. No, you chicken. Your thing's talking about the whole Christian life. The whole of Jesus. Don't cut him in half. It's not about you. It's about him. And therefore, that's not a terrible calling you a chicken, but I can say that. Having been a squawker most of my life, my real name's Cluck Jones instead of Chuck Jones. I understand that. So one of the things I fight that is I ask God to put me in situations that forces me to ignore the obvious so I can manifest the truth, the real Christ. Amen? So I would just assume God's going to put you in some situations. And maybe there's a possibility that you can move out in the world and do some stuff. You might actually meet somebody that's broken, messed up, sick, needs deliverance or freedom. Why do you think God brought them to you? So you could just be nice to them and reveal them Christ. And maybe over 20 years, you're being nice to them enough to lead them to Christ. Maybe he wants you to say, in Jesus' name, be healed. Can I pray for you a second? See, spirit of anger, come out of this person right now in Jesus' name. That's kind of the way Jesus did it. I think the time for friendship evangelism is a good thing, but there needs to be a deeper sense of urgency. The enemy, he's pretty urgent. It's time that we met his urgency with a greater urgency because we know we have a solution that trumps everything he's urgent about. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.